So he hid it from them. He sent his son as a man of no reputation. Oh, that's the son? When Jesus came, they did not accept him as the Son of God. Verse 20, and they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor, Pontius Pilate. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or no? Another double-edged question. Just like before, what authority? Where's your authority come from? The baptism of John. Which is it? No matter what you answer, supposedly, you're dead. And that was their plan. Let's get him a question so that no matter what he answers, we can accuse him. If he says, yes, it's lawful, we can accuse him to the people, and the people will stone him. This prophet teaches you should pay your taxes. And if it's no, then he could go to the governor and say, he teaches that we shouldn't pay our taxes. Verse 23, but he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people. And they marveled at his answer and held their peace. They thought, wow, that was pretty smart. They wanted to get his words in front of the people so that they could say, aha, this man, you see, how could a man from God teach that we should pay taxes? Meaning, because, you know, they had this conception of that there was a graven image on there, that it was idolatry. Remember, the Roman cult of the Caesar. You know, and obviously this is still pretty early in the Roman Empire. This would have been during Tiberius's reign, the third Caesar. But by then, they would already paying tribute to Caesar was considered a form of idolatry, at least among the Jews. If the Romans didn't already consider their Caesar to be God, as they later would, certainly the Jews felt that there was some sort of religious significance in paying tribute to him. And so to teach that we should do it would probably be viewed very narrowly. At least they had some expectation that that would be the reaction of the people. And they probably know better than we do, so we can understand that Jesus was probably in some peril at his answer here. But his point was, well, if it belongs to Caesar, then give it to Caesar. That's the money you have to pay him in? Well, then give him it back. Give it to Caesar. Render him what is his, and render to God what is God's. And this is the foundation of the modern idea of the separation of church and state, where Jesus, in his time, could not have had, as in Moses' time, where the religion and the state were unified, because their state was under the rule of another state. But that was also not what he wanted. If you're going to go to the Gentiles, you can't have it by conquest by the tiniest nation and the most, you know, weakest. So therefore, the gospel goes forth in peace, not to make war against the nations, but to exist, to coexist almost virally in the minds of the people. You know, our kingdom, that's why, you know, I feel completely comfortable talking about the kingdom of God, though ultimately, you know, it's going to be a violent overthrow of the world's governments. You know, when Jesus comes, he's not going to be waving an American flag. He's going to be burning the American flag. You bet. When Jesus comes, he's not going to land on the White House lawn and go in and meet the president, whoever it is at that time. I'm not saying anything particular against any living man. The current president being Barack Obama, I'm not trying to say anything negative about him, but he's not going to He's most likely going to incinerate that place. Or his disciples. But it's not going to be a question of human governments anymore. Those things are going to be put down. His mountain is going to be exalted above all the mountains. And exalted above the hills. It's not going to be as it has been. We're going to overthrow the governments of the world in blood. But that's when he comes from heaven. And I suppose as long as he isn't poking his head out of heaven, the people of earth should have nothing to fear. Because it is a peaceful gospel we preach. We preach the gospel of peace. Make peace with God now. So when he comes, he will not make war on you. Because that is really the truth. We make peace with God so that we may inherit the resurrection of the dead. So that we may avoid the wrath to come. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That's why it's a peaceful gospel. We come to proclaim peace. We come to proclaim reconciliation. Because if you miss it before, when it comes time for the Lord to return, it's going to be too late. The door is going to be shut. You will not be able to enter in the kingdom. You're going to be the subject of the kingdom's wrath. There's a point at which it's too late to say you're sorry. Because you're only sorry because your life's under threat. Don't kill me! I'm sorry! I'm sorry! Don't kill me! But because God doesn't punish wickedness immediately, men's hearts grow hard. And they say, oh, he doesn't exist. He's not going to judge the world. Blah, blah, blah. Don't need to worry about it. You fool. And when it comes, you'll be begging for mercy. Well, that's fine. I wouldn't want to have anything to do with a God like that anyways. And he doesn't want to have anything to do with people with that kind of attitude either. Remember, God doesn't even owe you this life, and you're not even thankful. The life you already have is a gift, and you're not even thankful. Oh, then men would praise him. But there's so much evil in the world. Yeah, you. You. There's so much evil in the world because God is merciful and allows evil people to exist. Remember, if he finds fault with you and you're evil, it's kind of stupid to say, well, why did he make me this way? Because he could have just not made you and made someone else who is nicer and more deserving. If that you can even say that, because no man deserves God's mercy. That's why it is mercy. Because if it isn't mercy, then it's debt. And God is not in debt.